Good afternoon, friends. I'm tonight in prayer. Almighty and eternal Father, we enter into thy presence to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thankful that you have given unto us thy word and preserved it for us unto this hour, that we may search and find within it thy pattern and purpose, we might understand thy blessing and thy program for thy kingdom. We thank thee, our Father, that thy Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are thy children. You've made known thy plan for thy household. You've identified it through the pages of thy word. So as we meditate upon these things this afternoon, we pray that you will stimulate each one of us to lift up thy standards, to pledge to adhere to thy purposes, to see our nation once more cleansed, once more re-energized by thy Spirit with leadership that men can follow because they lift up thy standards. So we pray for the binding of the darkness. We pray for thy Spirit to move swiftly to eliminate those forces that would destroy thy kingdom. We might see thy power and thy glory manifested in the activities of our nation and the positions which we take. Now, our Father, as we commit ourselves to thy hand, we pray that this nation shall see a great new rebirth of liberty and freedom, that we shall cut ourselves off from the powers of darkness, the forces of evil, and from the association of the pagans, that we shall watch also the restoration of liberty upon thy people and the great blessings which descend upon them that keep thy word. And so we say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we ask it. Amen. We turn this afternoon in our discussion of independence and interdependence. If you've been listening to the remarks that represent administration over the last few days as they have been talking about the things in which they have been involved, the plans that some of those that pose as leadership have for our nation. The other day, I listened to the presentation upon the part of representatives of the New Frontier. They said that we must recognize as we approach Independence Day, the only way the individual will find freedom and independence is with total interdependence of all men one upon the other. Then I listened to them proceed to tell us that our nation could only achieve for its people a portion of greatness when we were willing by interdependence to become a part of the world at large as a vast political, economic, and social enterprise, and self-sacrifice our selfishness and our desire to be separate and to retain our great wealth and our achievements, and thus by serving all, guarantee freedom to all, because the appreciation of all would make an end of strife. Then I listened the other day as the words come out of our chief administrator, in which he said, what we need to learn is that independence is found through interdependence. Now, as I listen to these words, I realize that this is a pattern. It's a pattern which they're trying to brainwash the citizens of our nation. And they are trying to make us accept interdependence as almost an interchangeable motive with independence. As we are close to the 4th of July, which weekend the entire nation celebrates, let us remember that when those spiritually guided men who were our founding fathers first brought to bear the necessity of separating themselves from even nations of our own race, that in the hour in which they brought this nation into being, they signed a Declaration of Independence. Now, the Declaration of Independence does not discuss a future interdependence, but provides that this nation shall be forever free. There is no way to abridge the Declaration of Independence legally. The Declaration of Independence was a complete and absolute document. When the Constitution of the United States was framed, those that were to carry out their responsibilities as provided for within that document found that they were limited to the perimeter of authority within that document to uphold and to preserve these United States. No provision was made that could ever be constitutionally applied to dissolve the United States of America, put it into a compact with foreign powers that overthrow our sovereignty, or to join us with all of the masses of the earth. Today, the great threat to the kingdom of God is a satanic delusion. It's a satanic conspiracy and a master plan. This plan is to destroy the independence of every great white nation of the Western world. Especially is it aimed at the United States of America and at the great American eagle. But let me assure you this, that this is all a part of the program of the Antichrist. We'll have much more to say about the areas of that tonight as we talk to you about getting out of the evil confederacy. But I want to point out to you that our forefathers have, from the very beginning, had inspired within them a spirit of liberty. In fact, it is run through our race, and tyranny can arise even among our own people if they fall under the influence of evil people that should never be permitted to dwell in their land. Even King George's problem with the early colonies would not have existed had it not been for the House of Rothschild and their evil power seeking to manipulate the economy of the British Empire or Britain and England at that time and thus hold us to economic slavery. Had it not been for the violations of divine law that occur from time to time, our society and all of the great nations of Christendom, whether together or independent, would have been constantly blessed. This great nation had a destiny under God, a destiny that was prescribed to it, and the development of this North American continent in the days of David, when God told David, then standing in Jerusalem, by the very stone upon which he was crowned, which stone's in Westminster Abbey now. He said, there's a land I'm going to give you, not the one you're in now, but it's a far land, and it's beyond the waters. And this is another place where I'm going to plant you, my people, and where you're going to dwell safely, and they're not going to move you. And we happen to be the people who have inherited this blessing. We are the people that have come out of the great house of Israel. We are made up of the stock of the house of Jacob. We are the Israel of God. We are a part of the white race, which constitutes today the sum total of the peoples that are the Israel of God. Here in these United States, we are under the emblem of the great house of Manasseh, the symbol of the outstretched wings of the house of Manasseh. They say, yes, but we have people here that are Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Nordic, Basque, Lombard, Germanic. Yes, in this great new land that God had prescribed for his people and had preserved for them under the hour of the colonists and through the development of our society, here was going to be one of the great strong nations which would march under this emblem. And from the early Angles that were among some of its early settlers, we carried our destiny and our heritage. True, we have all Israel gathered here together in one place. Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Nordic, Basque, Lombard, Germanic, from the house of Judah to the house of Joseph, from Ephraim, Manasseh, from Scandinavia, from the houses of Asher to the houses of Gad, we are here. Predominantly, however, we speak the language and affinity which belong to the house of Joseph, and thus the predominant language which spreads out over the world has only one competition, that is Russian today, is the English language. This does not affect the impacts and localisms and semantics which we gather, but I point out to you that this was a great nation under God with a destiny. One that the prophets proclaimed and anticipated, a place where we would select our rulers of ourselves, our governors would come out of the people, and our judges would be as aforetime. A land that would raise up its voice in thanksgiving, said Jeremiah unto the Most High. And this was the first nation to officially make proclamations that we would have a thanksgiving in which we would thank God for the bounties of the harvest, for his protection. Though we are living today in this land under the scourge of a desire of an enemy to overthrow us, he has invaded the structure of our society and of our culture. He seeks to take the recognition and the worship of God from our schools and the recognition of his word from our areas of education. He wishes to take the oath before the eternal God that has made us great out of our land, and this is the punishment that we are paying for a violation of divine law from the beginning. For that law requires that we not only establish and maintain the pattern of God, but throughout all the nations of our culture and civilization, we should pay special attention as to who we let dwell in the midst of it, and where they dwell while they are there, and what influence they have upon our society. The message I'm bringing you this afternoon is a 100% repudiation of the false and infamous passage of law signed into being that is not constitutional and is certainly ungodly that has just taken place. I'm going to point out to you that a declaration of independence must be reaffirmed in the heart of every American and every Christian. It is important that we recognize how far-reaching it is that this nation assume its full areas of leadership. And God has ordained it will, if He has to so stir you that the wrath rises up in your countenance and you'll run every Canaanite out of the country. We spoke to you last Sunday night on the subject God and integration. We only laid that foundation down so that that message could be used and those scriptures can be quoted. And I can give you so many more scriptures as we will point out to you that God wanted you to be independent. He wanted the nations of His kingdom to be independent. And your independence is but a token of a total independence from all the other peoples on the face of the earth. When I listen to them speak from White House or from State Department of independence, interdependence, it is treason. Now listen, when we deal with a great nation like this, you must not overlook what the 18th chapter of Isaiah said, "Ho to this land of the outstretched wings of the eagle, westward ho beyond the great waters, far westward across the oceans." It was the land, my friends, that when the prophet Isaiah stood in Jerusalem and looked beyond the oceans, and he would have looked across to this great continent. It sends its ambassadors by sea and water-drinking vessels, steamships. Even vessels saying, "Go ye swift messengers of a nation, tall and clean-shaven, a people powerful from their beginnings and from this time onward." Your King James Version is just scattered in fields. This is tall and clean-shaven is the proper translation. A people powerful from their beginnings, from a nation that is surveyed and measured, meted out underfoot. You were the first nation to pass an act called the Meets and Bonds Act to properly see that your land was surveyed and that you didn't just have a sort of hit-or-miss method of identifying even property. For one of the most valuable assets in a Christian society, in a God-given society, is liberty and property. And property is perfectly defined by latitude and longitude, by township and by lot. And you know where you are. It's not from this tree to that house to that post as it is in Europe and lots of parts of the world. Today they're all adopting a process like yours, but this is where it started. Of course, I don't agree with Mr. Kennedy, who said there is no such thing as private property. I point out to you that in the instance of this declaration, "All ye inhabitants of the world, look unto this country which is measured out like this, land divided and blessed by great rivers. All ye inhabitants of the world and dwellers on earth, see ye when he lifts up the ensign on the mountains and when he blows the trumpet, hear ye." What we have been doing hasn't been trumpet blowing lately for the kingdom of God, but we're going to blow that trumpet again and we're going to rally white men for their destiny. Well, the harvest isn't too far away, and there has been a lot of pruning, lots of twigs and branches, and a lot of the territories which belong to us have been set free and cut loose and all this. But the decks are being cleared, my friend, for a very vital area of action, and everything that's not white and everything that's not a part of the household will be pruned off of the great nations of God's kingdom for the final battle that's just ahead. And that's the only explanation that you can have for what looks like a retreat from colonial power and from territorial administration. Therefore, the day is coming which says that this great nation shall bring a mighty president unto the Lord of hosts, this powerful, tall nation. It shall be a leadership among the houses of God's kingdom, but it's not coming out of the people that are trying to swallow you up and destroy you. I want you to record with me then some of the passages which are basic and significant. For you are a very unique people, and as such you must understand this. Though it may seem repetitious over again, though I'm going to give you many more scriptures than this afternoon, I want you again to go to the 7th chapter of Deuteronomy. I'm just going to pause now with the 6th verse. "Thou art a holy people unto Yahweh thy God, and Yahweh thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth." You are a special people, a holy people. Only that which proceeds forth out of God is holy. and therefore you are a progeny of the Most High. Thou art a holy people. I think it's significant then that we understand, as far as God's purpose and plan is concerned, that He has marked you as something separate from all other peoples. Now, in the psalmist, he makes a statement concerning the peoples of the earth. Record this. This happens to have intense significance. It's the 96th Psalm, and he said, concerning this, that all of the nations of the world are idolaters, but Yahweh made the heavens. Now, under this declaration also, he makes a statement concerning you. I would have you read in the book of Leviticus, in the 20th chapter and the 24th verse. Therefore, I am Yahweh your God, which have separated or segregated you from other peoples. Understand this now. No stretching, no straining. These are the words. I am Yahweh your God, which have separated you from other peoples. Now I want you to read the 26th verse, just below this in the book of Leviticus. For ye shall be as a holy people unto me, for I am Yahweh, and I am holy, and I have severed you from other people, because you are mine. You hear that this afternoon? No wiggle way. No way without displeasing God for integration. No way without violating the processes of divine law for mongrelization or joining yourselves to other countries. I turn in the direction of the Most High in the 34th chapter of the book of Exodus. And he said, I want you to observe that I have driven out before thee the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite. Now you take heed to yourself that you don't make any covenants or treaties or alliances with the inhabitants of these lands, lest it be a snare for you. Because all of the gods of the other races are idols, God said. We've read you this verse. And I'm not going to have you join yourself to people that are idols. I'm not going to have you join yourself to any of the dark races of the earth or any other peoples upon the face of the earth. Therefore, take heed to thyself that you make no covenant with them, no agreement, no treaty with them. Ye shall destroy their altars. Ye shall break their images. Ye shall cut down their groves. I want you to notice something. This is the book of Exodus. What we were talking to you about when we read to you the 7th chapter of Deuteronomy, the same chapter in which God said, you're a holy people above all the peoples upon the face of the earth, because I put you above all the peoples on the face of the earth, God said. He said, I want you to go out and cut down every idol grove, smash every pagan temple, destroy everything that's evil. Now, over here in the book of Exodus, so there's no mistake, it's here again. He said, ye shall destroy their altars, their groves, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god, for Yahweh is thy God. He's a jealous God. Let thou shalt make no covenant with the inhabitants of these lands. You shall not go after their gods. You shall not do sacrifice unto them. You shall not take their daughters unto thy sons, nor shall you permit thy their sons to marry thy daughters. Thou shalt make no images of their gods. Now there isn't any procedure with which one can question that God was believing totally in separation, segregation, and a complete independence of His people. I point out to you that over here in the book of Genesis, when Abraham, who God said, come out of the land of Ur the Chaldees, get thee out from among even thy own kindred in this matter, because integration, mongrelization was starting in ancient Babylon, in that side of Ur the Chaldees. Now note that he said, you come out so that I can bless you. I want to preserve racial purity here. I want to maintain what I have ordained I will do, and I'm going to bring forth the nations of my kingdom from you. Now I want you to note that when Abraham was sending out his eldest servant to find a son for a wife for his son, I want you to read what the Spirit of God moves on him to say. And I make thee swear by Yahweh, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a daughter unto my son of the daughter of the Canaanites. But thou shalt go into the country unto my own kindred to take a wife for my son Isaac. Though I find today Methodist and Presbyterian and Babylonian and Catholic all moving the same direction, advocating today that we must abolish all areas of discrimination in housing and social association, even into marriage, and that it is not Christian and it is not American to stand up in opposition to mixed marriages and mongrel offspring. And this is cursed of God as a violation of divine law. I point out to you then that just as it was important to the days of Abraham, and we find it from the book of Genesis on through, it continues to be important to our day. If you turn over to the 28th chapter of the book of Genesis, now Isaac called Jacob, and he blessed him. And what does he say to Jacob? Coming right down through the house. Thou shalt not take a daughter of the Canaanites. Thou shalt not marry with the Canaanites. Thou shalt not dwell with the Canaanites. Thus again, we have another one of those areas of important and divine instruction. As we go through the Declaration of the Most High, we become more and more convinced that one of the most important things we can understand this afternoon is that we are a holy seed, and that we have a discriminating God, and that He has placed us above the peoples of the world because of who we are and because of the spiritual quality that you have within you. It is only when there is quickened to your consciousness and there is a renewing of your mind by His Holy Spirit that you know who you are and what your destiny is, that you move to fulfill it. Ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. It makes you free first from error. It makes you free from tyranny. And it gives you a determination to accomplish your destiny. Listen. I turn now in the 26th chapter of Deuteronomy. For the Lord hath avouched this day. He hath promised thee to make thee high above all the nations which have been made, and in praise, and in name, and in honor, that thou mayest be the holy people unto Yahweh thy God. And He has spoken. Hear this now. The Lord has avouched this day that He shall make thee high above all nations, and in name, and in honor, that thou art a holy people unto Yahweh thy God. And He has spoken. Ye are the issue of the eternal. For only that which proceedeth forth from Him is holy. Someone said this is unconstitutional. No, this is constitutional. It's just against a foolish and fallacious pattern of legislation. There is no doubt in all of the revelation of divine purpose that God hath made it clear over and over again concerning His relationship to you. Thus saith Yahweh, which hath spoken unto you, O children of Israel, the whole family that I brought up out of the land of Egypt, you and you only have I known of all the families in the earth. Hear this now. I don't care whether you come from Africa or Asia. I don't care, my friends, whether you come from the steppes. Hear this, white race Israel. You and you only have I known. You alone are my relatives. You alone are a part of my elect and have been with me from the beginning. You alone are my seed. You alone are my household. You alone are the issue. And thus your race is my bride, bringing forth my sons. You only have I known of all the families of earth. I think it's time we made a new declaration of independence and a new pattern of immigration laws, and we made it stick. God said, violate my instructions. Try to walk together with those with whom you're not agreed, and you got trouble. He says, therefore, hear ye and testify to the entire house of Jacob, saith Yahweh God, the God of hosts, the Master of the heavens. No wonder Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I tell you this afternoon that the design to destroy you is to get you to accept other policies and other principles and other patterns than these that the Most High God has set down, who knew that it was essential in order to make your, to preserve the spiritual capacities of leadership and guidance, that the theme thought that must run through your race must be moved by His Spirit. I want you to take a good look at America today. Our founding fathers arrived here, and the great predominant majority of them were Christians of various forms and denominations, but they were Christians. And in the instance of it, there were others who came by race and inheritance out of Christianity that might not have been a practicing, avowed, testifying Christian, but the majority of your race was Christian. And I want you to remember that when they built churches in the United States, they were Christian churches. From the days of our beginning, we were a Christian nation and a Christian society, and we made one or two mistakes, but if we followed Benjamin Franklin, we would have crushed it out just like stepping on a black widow spider, and that's when we let a synagogue or two get built. That's supposed to be against the civil rights law, too. I guess we will still quote history. For Benjamin Franklin gave us a clear vision of what would transpire if we permitted these unassimilatable people to stay here. And there was 7 states out of the 13 where it was illegal for them to be. I point out to you that you could come right on down to the Civil War, and again, the predominant structure of our society everywhere were churches. They might be Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian. They might be Holiness churches or Catholic churches, but there was one name above all names. It was the name of Jesus. And you didn't go up and down the streets of our cities and travel back and forth, and you didn't find our country filled with temples to pagan idols and to every strange and false religion. Our land today is filled with Josh houses, pagan temples, Jewish synagogues, as well as Christian churches. You'll find groups that are dedicated to areas of satanic worship. I can find the religions of every dark and pagan race are not only flourishing in the United States, but being protected and supported as though the retention of this was a retention of our great historical values. We're being told that one of the great signs of our arriving in the areas of social and philosophic appreciation is a temple to all religions in Washington, which is under development. You know what ought to happen? My friends, America ought to rise up, and a great spiritual fire ought to move across. We ought to absolutely destroy every pagan temple in America. So I said, before that can be done, you've got to revise America. Well, then you have to get on with the revising. No sooner had one infamous piece of bad legislation as a result of demagoguery and lost statesmanship taken place than they started writing in that same day to say the next great step must be the abolition of our immigration laws, that they are discriminatory. And they're keeping out half of the peoples of Africa and Asia from entering into America and becoming citizens. This is what it said. They said from Washington, D.C. and on the floor of the Congress. Well, thank God there's something keeping half of them out. We already have too much of the other half here already. The next major prospect of the new frontier administration is to end immigration laws. And it's a United Nations master design so that they can flood America with unassimilatable peoples to knock out any self-determination, to knock out any remaining standards which your Christian society and divine-given laws support. They're already trying to set aside all recognition of private property. They're doing exactly what Lucifer has known as the strategy, was to gain control as far as possible of the economy of the land. And then by the manipulation and buying and selling of the souls of those that buy and sell themselves out, to increase the areas of pressure, to increase the areas of tax until they take over a third of your property by tax, and they're planning on going so far that they get 100%, and then they'll just give you some back to live on to keep you slaves. We not only need independence today from every pagan power and every foreign evil power, but in a declaration of independence, we should again reaffirm the sovereignty of our states in their compact contract that formed the federal government, to keep as much freedom and autonomy in the hands of the people as it is possible to possess under God. I point out that the war is against property and against freedom. They're now trying to curtail freedom of speech. They're trying to say what you can or can't say in any assembly. They're trying to say, my friends, that this is and this is not permissible to be said. You can't curtail freedom of speech. They are even trying to define what's going to be acceptable in an area of religion. And the FCC is already trying to step in to bar and to limit whole areas of evangelistic activity. For instance, right at this very moment, they're trying to rule certain evangelists off of the air because they've been fighting the National Council of Churches and because they have been denouncing a trend toward socialism and communism, and the hierarchies of religion have been selling out their own liberties by calling on the FCC to limit this area of free speech and thus define the areas of religion. And my friends, when they do that, then we better be the ones to define it. Let's make sure the majority of us are represented white and Christian, and nothing else will be religion in these United States. I find people sometimes challenged by the fact that they say, well, things must continue as they've been since the days of our fathers. Well, they're being taken away from you by an enemy. You better assume the leadership of change is coming and place it on the altar before the Most High. Never has it been more important for you to understand this than now. The Father said, I have chosen you, white race people. I have chosen you, my household. I sent my Spirit out to speak unto you. You're Christian because my Spirit calls you out. I call my sheep by name. I lead them out. I give them eternal life. They never perish. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have ordained that ye shall bring forth much fruit, and that your fruit shall remain. This is the will of the Father. I'm surely glad this is the Father's world, because we'd be undone if it were not. If he did not have the power to activate his sons, to quicken their consciousness, to challenge them, then, my friends, men would pass into slavery by apathy. There is probably no more deadly disease that moves over men than apathy. Apathy is tied to fear of an even more serious status, and it is tied, my friends, to a temporary area of amusement or temporary patterns of what they believe to be plenty. You know, the one thing today that men are falling for in apathy is the promise of the state to provide for them everything that they desire without having made any special requirement of what they are to do for it. And this is a total deception, for the state cannot provide that unless there is production. This is the reason why the whole socialist conspiracy wants to confiscate from those that have produced or created and give it to those that have not produced it, and thus they stir up a class consciousness and a class war to make those that are the workers angry at the manufacturer, the owner, so that they will be willing to divide up what belongs to the other fellow. I point out to you that there is a process here of divine law. God has made it clear that he will prosper the man or the woman that serve him. He will prosper them according to their dedication. He will prosper them according to their faith. He will prosper them according to their tithe. All these things are promises that God has made. At no place is the promise, I will prosper thee because I have made you a ward of the state. We again point out to you that under the Declaration of the Most High, that the factors of property do not pass out with the climax of this age. For as Micah unveils, even in the climax of this age, when again this great nation, the very height of the mountain, shall be the symbol of the leadership of the nations of God's kingdom. And at that day, in the climactic hour, in the hours of triumph and of victory, every man shall sit under his own vine or under his own fig tree. Not, my friends, eating in a collective vineyard and taking from the people's tree. Patterns and processes of divine law are based around the relationship of the individual and his God in the moral and ethical patterns of his demand and upon the retention of his property for he and his posterity. And thus, upon this law is built. The economic laws of God, which are also a pattern for observation, have warned us against traps, have warned us against evil processes, but most of all against evil people that are not of our race. Do not go out of here and think this afternoon that Jews are our race. They're not of our race. They're married into every other race on the face of the earth. They're integrated and mongrelized and satanically dominated, and they are a part of a collective program to destroy your economy. Do not think for a moment that there is any equality this afternoon between Jews, Negroes, Africa, Asia, and the white race. But God says there isn't. And I think it's self-evident this afternoon that as nations of his household obey and serve him, he hath blessed them, he hath prospered them, and their spiritual guidance and their technological achievements stand out above all the other parts of the world, until even in the face of all this pressure, you're the have nations of the world, and they're the have not nations. This is know-how, intelligence, initiative, drive. This is vision. And since this is obvious and self-evident, they seek to force themselves and thrust themselves into your society, their hands into your pocket, and the division of your property. This, my friends, is not a selfish position. This is a divinely ordained one. God said, I will not pour out my blessings on the idol worshippers. I will not bless these pagans. And until they acknowledge thee and my kingdom and acknowledge my name, there is to be no blessing on them. And don't you pour your blessings on them and then scatter the blessings I've given you upon those that hate my name. If you do this, then you're in trouble. Now, if you're rebelling against this, they don't like this, don't talk to me. You're rebelling against God, and I'm not concerned whether you like it or not. I'm only concerned with one thing. Thus saith Yahweh. I know how we've arrived as the have nations. I know how fast they're trying to dissipate it to make us have not nations and to lift Lucifer's family to the have status of the earth. And I know, and because of this, can never cease, that God has ordained to by his Spirit he's going to pour it out upon his sons and his daughters and quicken them to their areas of responsibility, and they're going to reaffirm the realization that the law of God and the word of God is good, and they're going to restore it economically, and they're going to restore it socially, and they're going to restore it politically. I think the major project of the white race should be to build stronger walls of immigration and deport every area of violation that has occurred. We shall separate ourselves from the peoples of these other lands. I think we should deport, as Ezra the prophet has, under the instruction of God, told us to, all the mongrels and misfits that have been brought in here under the pressures and tensions because of the wars, the problems we've been involved in, and because we didn't use intelligence in this handling of this situation. I had a talk with a vacillating brain-trapped clergyman who said, you know, Dr. Swift, he says, I have to agree with what you say. It's in the Bible. I have to agree that this is what God ordained then. And I agree that this is a part of the prophecies of what it's to be. But he says it's a possibility that our religion has evolved and that we have become more Christ-like than God used to be. Oh. I said, you sound like Balaam's ass. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has not become more Christ-like. The grace of God has always existed, or He never would have bothered to send His family from heaven to earth to redeem this Lucifer-dominated planet. The grace of God, with all the hardness of righteousness that is demanded, is also the softness of destiny. What except the kingdom come in, men are forever doomed to trouble and catastrophe, and the very nature of God itself is challenged. We evaluate in temporary pains and upsets and turbulence too greatly sometimes the issues that are at stake, little realizing that by the maintenance and retention of satanic pressure without the hardness of righteousness and justice, that we're plunged into depressions and wars and tortures and cannibalisms. And it is better with a sheet of light and a triumphant conquest of the sons of God carrying out the Aryan destiny that God's ordained for the building of His kingdom, that we smash evil for all time. Better that we break it beneath the rod of iron and lift up the standards that set men free than we permit these cycles to continue forever. In the instance of this, we must remember that there are a lot of embodied beings that don't belong here, and they're not in the right plane anyhow. And there are a lot of devils that are the result of violations of divine law because they didn't keep their first estate. They intermingled with peoples of earth and started an assimilatable posterity. God says we're just going to go in and reach this and get the weeds out of the way. This man said, oh, what a harsh process it's going to take to put this in order. How much better, he said, if we could just all fraternize, get together, end all resistance, just intermingle as one great mixed-up family, and then just not fight over anything. I said, what religion are you going to have? Well, we'd have to learn, as I think we are learning, a respect for all religion, he said. I said, I still think you're just exactly what I thought of you when I spoke to you a minute ago. I pay no respect to the devil. I pay no respect to any pagan religion. And God has promised that if in this temple there is not 100% allegiance unto Him, He's unhappy. I said, the reason why we're in trouble, and I think you'll have to admit we're in trouble, America, from a great white nation, blessed of God, to a nation in which we find every color and every contamination walking our streets and influencing our society. This is because the line was not kept from the days of Roosevelt to now. We have been degenerating in this nation. I point out to you that what God intends to do is turn it the other direction with you. And in the midst of your necessity, you're going to discover that as we are independent from all of the pagan powers of the earth and all the peoples of earth, and we call for independence, that it is not independence from our Father because He's a part of it. And we are one with Him. And in the manifestation of His embodiment, He says, make us one, even as this body and spirit are one. Your victory is the victory of your Father. And He will pour out sufficient power upon you to see that it is victorious. One of the most important things that's going to happen is going to be a great intellectual stimulation through the Spirit that causes white men to think like white men should. And this is why it's your responsibility to tell it, tell it, tell it, tell it. There are too many denominations that want to separate themselves from this identity. They say, well, we'll talk as Christians, but let's not say as white men. Let's not say as white Christians. You are the only family, hear this now, you are the only family on earth that Yahweh hath known.
You are the only family, hear this now, you are the only family on earth that Yahweh hath known. And you are the one family he's vitally interested in, because you will receive, and through you, the world's going to know, he says in Isaiah, that you are my sons, and I have loved thee.
Now all the temporizing propaganda that tried to say that they're all the same, and when we spread the church out, they still remain all the same, they are not all the same. The church may carry on an educational instruction under the expanse of the kingdom among Africa and Asia, and people can be brought back from under ignorance and superstition as long as they are protected from the evil and start thinking in the right direction under guidance and leadership. But it still doesn't make them the same as you. And it still doesn't say just because they turn and accept it with their lips or with their soulish consciousness the nature of your God that you can intermingle with them or marry with them, as the Methodists, the Baptists, the Catholics are saying. This is a lie. Because they don't have a spirit like yours that cohabitation can bring to completion. And you would not, therefore, be creating a posterity of spirit like unto yours, even though in the center of their consciousness, they now, by your influence and your witnessing and your missionary activity, turn to worship your God. This is the responsibility, and this will eventually be the accountability of every single being in this universe to get down and acknowledge the Most High God. That doesn't make them my brother and my sister. That just makes them a creation of my Father, turning back to worship Him, and that's what we're sent here to see they do. There is no question about the fact that the grace of God which reaches out until in His covenant He said, all flesh shall be saved as it is written. That covenant was first made with the children of the kingdom, that through and by them was He going to still finish the task which He started to do, so all Israel shall be saved as it is written. And first through them and then by them and by this purpose which God hath made, shall He bring to fruition what He has said. So this minister finally said, but you see, we're already so far down the road, you can't just roll this back. It's like to try to roll back the sea. It's too late. I said, the people still here? Right. The people were still here, and the people were still throughout the world. Some 300 million of us or more. We're still here. We're 1/6 of the world's population. We're still here. And he said, who hath resisted my will? My spirit can call. My spirit can quicken. My spirit can challenge. And I can raise up principal men, and I can raise up ministers that will proclaim. And he says, I can challenge, and I can move, and I can bring them to awakening. Why, if we thought that just because we hear a minority in our country who make too much noise and have bought too many men proclaim what tomorrow is going to be. But when we arrived, we were only one man's family. When we arrived in the earth, we were one man's family, Adam and Eve against the world. And from the days of Seth on, one man's family. It looked like at the time of Abraham, but here we are. I'm going to tell you that we have been surrounded by the enemies in our past history. The war chariots of the Egyptians. There are hordes of the Assyrians from the high steppes. The thundering cavalry of the Khans out of the steppes of Asia. We have been outnumbered, and we have been represented as a people unable to defend ourselves. But in each and every one of the great crises of history, there has been the hand of God intervening, putting a wall of fire about us, dropping the invader, even in the midst of his height. Until today, we are 1/6 of the world's population, and we're going to keep right on going. You say, how far are we going to go? Of the increase of this race and of the sovereignty of God's kingdom, there is going to be no end. We're just in this little cycle of Jacob's trouble, and we shall be saved out of it. But I think that it's time again for each one of us as Christian Americans to call for a reaffirmation of the Declaration of Independence. Free from every foreign power that is non-Christian, and then free from those powers to determine our destiny. I think it's time for us to recognize that we wish to be an independent society. I listened to the sorry argument that we have become too specialized a society for independence anymore. They tried to say in our early days, family could roll out across the plains, and they could get skins, and they could work it into jackets, and they could make shoes and moccasins, and they could sow seed if they stopped long enough, and they could do all these things. But see, you're totally interdependent now, because one man now makes the shoes and another man plants the fruit. No, my friends, not if that man can be free while he conducts his trade. If that farmer can be free from a tyranny at the governmental level or at a state level, he can barter what he produces in the market of the nation and be a free man on his own property. I point out to you that we have not, because of the intricacies of expansions of our great urban centers, we are not necessarily losers of our independence. It's only when all these men as independent can live together that we have what we might call prosperity. But I point out to you that when they seek to put us with strangers, and then strangers climb up above us and try to change our constitution, try to influence the courts to make America like the United Nations wants it to be, like the world order that can't wait to get their hands in your pockets and to get themselves settled on your land. So a lot of people said, I wish there was some new place to migrate. You know, if you migrated out of here and let them take this over, then in the stride of another 20 years, they'd be following you up to take what you just rebuilt. Wouldn't take them long to ruin this. This is the bounty of divinely guided thought. It is vision. It is knowledge. It is the renewing of the mind. It is the Holy Spirit of God that pulses your race, that makes you what you are. Let's reaffirm it. Let's recognize that this spirit, which the world cannot receive, works in us. And therefore, let's preserve our racial purity. Let's not contaminate our children by forcing them in their neighborhoods to associate those that would destroy their morals. I want you to know that these are vital things. You may force grocery stores and markets and restaurants to hire all these people. It's about time they changed their ways. This is a violation of law. I know why grocery stores don't want them. I know why their whole areas don't want them. They don't want their syphilitic hands on the food of a people that are 60% venereal disease, should not be handling the food of the white race. I talked to an official of one of the largest chain stores this week, and this is the thing that's worrying them very heavily. Better trade with a little tiny market down the street that has a white man in there than to move into this situation. God warned us, sicknesses, plagues, diseases, if you violate my law. And then these great and equal people have all of Africa. Why didn't they do something with it? They have their own areas. Why didn't they develop them? Why did they have slums in Harlem? Well, you say that's because the Jew owned it and didn't improve the building. Well, then they should wake up and not follow his directions. Why, my friends, if they move into a good house, do they let it run down? Why does the neighborhood change its complexion the moment they come in, when it was a neighborhood that had a different complexion when your race lived in it? These are the things which legislation does not change. And these are the byproducts of fact. And God therefore said, I'll spare you all this bad experience. I'll preserve this race. I have put you above all the peoples on the face of the earth. Let us therefore remember then that in this declaration of the Most High, in which he hath ordained, is that this is the way it is to be, to make known that I have made thee high above all peoples in name and in honor, that thou mayest be this holy people of Yahweh thy God.